This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Na'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah Kareem. We start by praising Allah and bestowing peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abdullah, the best of mankind, the most righteous man of mankind, the one who came to teach us the difference between right and wrong, and we are living in his tenure. We are living in the tenure of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the I era. This is the Islamic era. But you wouldn't know it. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you would struggle to believe that we're living in the tenure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends in the Qur'an to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created you. He created you for a distinct purpose. And then after some time, and the time that elapsed between this is Allah knows best. Some scholars say up to 3 years. The next verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He sends to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, kum fa'anthir, arise and warn. O you who are wrapped up in a garment, arise and warn, throw your garment off, and arise and warn that the world is not guaranteed any success in this world or the hereafter. The second commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He sends to mankind via this wonderful man Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed to warn mankind. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, at the time of the life of this great man, Malik ibn Dinar, Thamim al-Ansari, and the likes of these people, they traveled to India. They traveled to India, they were companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of his life, as he was still living, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came to Kerala. Khayrullah. They were sitting on the boats and they were saying, this is the land of Khayrullah. This is the land of blessings of Allah. And we have come here for one purpose. The purpose to expand the beautiful message of Islam across the world, regardless of who they are, where they are, how powerful they are, how rich they are, how poor they are. Everyone must get this message. And that's why they went to India. They did not go to India to trade. They did not go to India to marry some rich, pious woman. They went to India to extend the boundaries of Islam and save the people from Jahannam, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, arise and warn. Arise from amongst mankind and warn mankind that Jahannam indeed is a nasty, nasty place. And he did not want even one of the people in his tenure to go to Jahannam. Now I want you to wind the history books forward. The history, the annals of history, I want you to wind it forward 1300 years. And if you wind it forward 1300 years, there's a man who comes to Scotland A man who comes to Scotland, his name is Wazir Beg. Wazir Beg is a medical student and he studies in Edinburgh. He comes here for the purpose of learning medicine in Scotland. Edinburgh University. In 1858, that man is here. There's a Muslim in Scotland in 1858. And all the way through for the next 3 years he resides here. And then if you wind the clock forward, in 1903, that's 1903, that is, according to my mathematics, which isn't the best, is over 100 years ago. There are 5,000 Muslims in Glasgow. According to the history books, there are 5,000 Muslims in the docks. 5,000 brothers and sisters. I want to ask you a question. In all honesty, with intending no shame upon anyone, intending no disrespect to anyone, but intending just to seek the truth. I just want to find the haq. I just want to find the truth inside myself and inside all of you brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last 110 years or so, what have the Muslims brought to Scotland? And if you compare the seriousness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his righteous companions, the Sahaba Ikram, can you compare this with your own situation here over 110 years, or if you include this man 150 years, Brother Wazir? Can you compare the two situations? More than 150 years and only a period of what you can say is 80 years after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam had entered India. Islam had entered Spain. Islam had entered virtually every place that there was civilization in the period of 80 years. And we have been here for 150 years in Scotland and we haven't even taken the gobbles. We haven't even given Islam to the gobbles. We haven't even given Islam at all. In fact, we have been taking from the culture and the religion of the people. And you look at the situation of our youth, you will find that they have left Islam. You'll find our women are taking the hijab off. I met one this morning. You will find that indeed we are in a state of khusr. Walas inna al-insana lafi khusr. If verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by time, that mankind is in a state of loss. I was sitting with a group of youth this morning, and it's such a beautiful thing to sit with the youth because they don't lie. They really want to say something, they say it. They've got no pretension. They don't want to please you. They just want to find the truth. I was sitting with these youth. And I was asking them, what does Islam mean? What are you here for? Why did your parents and your forefathers come to Scotland? Is it for tajara? To trade? To become rich? To become wealthy? Or is it because they wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because they want to take Islam and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the most highest and the most venerated? Or is it because they just wanted a comfortable life? The difference, my brothers and sisters, between those companions, Malik ibn Dinar, the son of Dinar, and the likes of some of the companions that came to India, like Thamim al-Ansari, who was one of the 313 people that actually fought in Badr. What is the difference between them and us? What is the difference? How can we define ourselves? Who are we? Why are we here in this dunya? And at the end of the 1 hour session with these children, they said, we know why we are here. It was so simple, but it's something that we've forgotten to do with our children. It's something we've actually forgotten to do. Just to sit them down and make it A, B, C, D. The ABC of Islam. Islam means to submit to the will of God. If you submit to the will of God, and you listen to His commandments of the Quran and the Subhanallah, the greatest man that was ever created, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will get peace in this world, because there's justice is supreme justice, is divine justice, to establish the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the land here in Scotland. And then after that, if you do these things, you will find your life becomes better here in this dunya. You will get khayr, barakah. And the people around you will see that you're on that khayr and barakah, and they will follow you. This is why, my brothers and sisters, that when those companions went to India, today, one of those companions that I just mentioned, if you look at his situation when he meets Allah, that there's 154 million Muslims practicing Islam today in India. So what is the condition of this man? When he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to a sahih hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that whatever good you encourage or educate a person to do, you will find it on your mizan on the Day of Judgment. 154 million people making ajr, making siyah, reading the Quran, teaching the Quran, making sajda, crying to Allah, giving sadaqah, giving zakah, all of these things on their mizan, and he goes on his mizan because he called the people to Islam and he was the first person. This is the nature of the da'wah. This is the nature of the da'wah. And I want to tell you about a man who had taken this message seriously. And he was living in Liverpool. And the time was 1889. And in 1889, for you to be anything but a Christian was a crime. It was a crime in England. If indeed some people would come and try to murder you if you said that, you know, that Christianity was not the religion of the truth. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, this man, he traveled to Morocco and then he came back to Liverpool. He was a solicitor by trade and he was one of the most famous legal representatives in the northwest of England. And subhanAllah, this man, he strove to implement the sunnah of and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he knew the first thing he had to do was to establish the masjid. Just like if you go to India, you know, Malik ibn Dinar, he established a masjid in Kerala, Jumma Masjid, in 629. He established the masjid, the first thing he did, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did the same thing when he went to Medina, he established the masjid, first Quba, and then he established the Medina Masjid. And after this, after establishing the masjid at great risk to his personal self, to himself, on the day he decided to open it, he decided to open the masjid on which day, brothers and sisters? On which day? On Christmas Day. Because there were no Muslims around, he decided to take one of the festivals of the Christians and he opened the masjid and he fed 1,000 people on that day. people from the streets, young kids from the street who had nothing to eat on that day and the Christians couldn't be bothered with them. He took them off the street and he fed them. And that's how the masjid came to be open on that day, by the feeding of the poor, of looking after miskeen. The travelers, the wayfarers were looked after in this masjid. The dawah was established in this masjid in such a way. By the end of 1908, it is recorded that there were 660 shahadas established from that masjid alone. In 1889, when it was a crime to be anything but a Christian. And then after that, this man, he heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that you will be established like this in the paradise with me if you support the orphan. So the man, he opened up the Medina House Orphanage in Liverpool. And he had hundreds of children which he took off the street and treated them like orphans. And he gave them dawah, and most of them became Muslim. Most of them, they became Muslim. Because they saw the teachings of Islam being actualized. The real Islam, the real McCoy, the real deal. There was a man that came to this man, who I'm going to tell you the name of so shortly. And he was walking back from one of his talks, because he used to give talks every second week or every third week in Liverpool Town Hall. So he was giving, you know, his narration, and the man was convinced about Islam. So he walked back with him to the house. And on the way he said, I'm convinced about what you have said, and I want to ask you the question, what do I have to do to become Muslim? And he said, you have to testify there's only one God worthy of worship. He's not in his creation. He's not comparable to his creation. He's not reliant upon what his creation do. And Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed his messenger, his final messenger, his khatam. He is the seal of the prophets. Do you understand that? He said, yes. He said, there's one problem. He said, in order for me to do this according to Islam, I have to have two Muslims here, and you are the second. This is the nature of the da'wah. This is the nature of the da'wah. That this can replicate itself over and over and over and over again. And the ajr, the thawab, the reward is placed on the people that innovated in this issue. Not innovated as in something wrong. But they started it. They began it. They originated it. And this is what it can be like in Scotland. Because as far as I can see, with the exception of one or two brothers that I know, mashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, there are very few people taking da'wah to Islam, the invitation of non-Muslims to the beautiful teachings of Islam, very seriously. So what we see today is effectively, my brothers and sisters, years and years later on, literally 120 years later on, in the case of Abdullah William, who was the first person to set up that centre in Liverpool. The first masjid in England was 1889. That man has taken a lot of the ajr. He will take the ajr. Inshallah, he will take the ajr of a lot of the things that go before. Although the name Quilliam has been misused by another organization, so don't get that confused with Abdullah Quilliam, Henry William Abdullah Quilliam. I want to now discuss with you the second masjid that was established in Liverpool, Masjid al-Rahmah. Around 1950s to 60s, they had a small house, then they established something else, then it became this beautiful marble-clad building, massive, great big thing, infrastructure, so on and so forth. We did a Dawah training workshop there, and we did an Horizon or One event similar to what we're doing today. And part of the thing is I said, look, let's not just talk. Let's go and knock on the doors of the neighbors, and we have the gift boxes. So I knocked on the first door. As this woman, this West Indian girl, woman, she looked behind the thing and she closed quickly because she saw we were wearing thobes and you know, the khutras and topis. And she was familiar with the garb. She wasn't familiar with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to looking after the neighbors, because it was the first time anyone had visited her. In 30 years she'd been living in that place next to the masjid, and nobody had visited her. She said to me, oh, you're from that place that plays loud music all the time and keeps me awake. She thinks that music is being played in the masjid. She thinks, my brothers and sisters, that Islam is something harmful to her. And some of the companions, they narrated that they were so worried about the rights of the neighbors upon themselves that they had to look after the neighbors, that they thought that when they died they would have to inherit their wealth. So why didn't somebody visit this woman and explain Islam to her? Because we came here other than for the da'wah. We have to be honest with ourselves. 99.9% of us, we came here for the dunya and we got the dunya. We are living in a situation right now where our children are asking us questions that we cannot answer. Our children are asking us questions about what we're doing here, Dad. What are we doing here, Mum? We say we're Muslims, but we don't care. We don't care about the neighbors next door, Mum. Wallahi, I see when I travel around the place, the situation gets worse and worse. It doesn't get better and better. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith that, and the English rendition being, he says that none of you are truly believed until you love for others as you love for yourself. And in the chart of this hadith, some of the classical scholars, they say this is not ikhwa. This is insan. Insan. Meaning this is brotherhood of man. Meaning that Jamie and Oliver and Julie and Susan and the likes of these people, when they're standing with us on the Day of Judgment, we've lived with them for 30 years. We have no hope in front of Allah. Wallahi, we have no hope in front of Allah unless we start to call them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and that many of these ayahs and verses will be discussed by the forthcoming scholars and du'as. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمِنْ أَحْسَنَا قَوْلًا وَمِنْ دَعِيَ اللَّهِ. And who, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's asking the question, وَمِنْ أَحْسَنَا قَوْلٌ وَمِنْ دَعِيَ اللَّهِ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? Who is better? The answer is none. And the first verses, and I'm going to go back to that in order to finish this talk. The first, second verse, the second commandment from Allah in the Qur'an. Ya ayyuhan mudathir, kum fa'anthir. Oh, you wrapped up in a garment, arise and warn the people. This is essentially the message we want to give today, my brothers and sisters. First of all, we call ourselves. And when I give a talk, I always call myself. I'm calling myself right now. I'm calling myself in a public arena so that you can ask me why you didn't give dawah yesterday, Yusuf. Why you didn't go to Glasgow Central and call the people. Why are you just talking, brother Yusuf? Don't just talk. I want you to act with us. Because I'm no scholar. I'm no talib al-ilm. I'm not even a student of a scholar. I'm miskeen, probably I'm worse than all of you put together. Well, one thing I know is if we don't act according to this deen, that we are a khusr. We are a waste of space. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, He said, verily I will, if you do not love this way, I will exchange you for a group that do. I will exchange you for a group that do. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the righteous companions that followed that, and all of those who followed that until this day is established, until the day of judgment is established. Ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to bring the message of Islam to Scotland. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it understood. We do not need devolution. We need da'wah-lution, the solution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to establish the deen of Islam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.